Thank you, Brother Price. Praise the Lord, everyone. And it's so good to be back in this evening service and enjoying the presence of God. The Bible says the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We've certainly felt a great deal of liberty and freedom in these services as we worship God. What a beautiful thing it is to praise and to magnify the Lord. All the beautiful singing and music we've heard tonight, it's been a blessing. And it's just good to be in the California district, the Western district. Good to be with all of the ministers, your wives, families, and all the great saints of God of this district. And again, I want to say that I appreciate Brother Price, your district superintendent, Brother Cantrell, your district secretary. These men are outstanding men of God, and I thank them and the fine board members that are here tonight for the invitation to come and be here this week. And this is truly a great district, and we admire and respect you a great deal. We're a smaller district in North Carolina, and we got a long ways to go to be like California, but we're working on it. Praise God. Little by little, we're working on it, but you have a great district and great leadership, and we admire and respect your district a great deal. Good to be here with you. Good to be with Brother Grant. My, that was excellent today. I enjoyed Brother Grant's Bible teaching. I always do. He is an excellent Bible teacher and superintendent of a great district. As he mentioned a while ago, we had the opportunity a few years back to preach a camp in Wisconsin and enjoyed it so much. It was hotter there than it is here tonight. I was there the week that they set all-time records, I think, for heat. It was about 100 degrees every day. But we had a great time, and these are great people, and good to be with Brother Grant and enjoyed his ministry today, and I'm looking forward to it the rest of the week. All the other preaching I heard today, it was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. Praise God. Well, it's good to know the Lord, isn't it? Let's lift our hands and thank Him for His presence. Hallelujah. Father, I love You tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Hey, the Spirit of God's here tonight. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Amen, 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 amen. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Certainly good to see Brother Gray. He is one of the tremendous leaders of our fellowship, and we've had him in our district, and what a joy that's been. It's good to see you, Brother Gray. God bless you so much. Praise God. Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 1. I'd like to read a few verses in your hearing tonight. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomah. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomah's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, this is chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 of the book of Ruth, and I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes from this passage of Scripture. And I'd like for our good district secretary to come and pray for us. Would you please?
Praise God. Heavenly God, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You inspired it, that holy men wrote it. I thank You, God, that tonight You've called another holy man to come to this place to deliver to us Thy Word, O God. I pray, refresh him, Lord. Give him clearness of thought and expression of Your divine will. And then open our hearts and help us to receive Your Word tonight in Thy name, Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Everybody said praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to preach tonight about change. My subject will just simply be one word, change. Change is something that is constantly taking place in our society. And there has probably never been a generation that has had so much change in it and related to it as the generation that we're in now. Someone has said that the vast majority of scientists and great leaders in various fields that have ever lived are living now. This is truly a changing generation. The only thing that's constant in our society, it seems, is change. It's become a way of life. Change has become our position. This is a society of change. Our homes are changing. Our schools are changing. Our churches are changing. Our preachers are changing. Our saints are changing. I have watched thousands of people change through the years. It is truly a changing world that we're living in. It's a fast-paced society. And it's a changing world. Somebody handed me an article just last week in our church. I thought it was a little bit interesting. It's talking about the generation gap. And it said, for all of you folks that were born before 1945, and that includes me, we are survivors. It said, consider the changes that we have witnessed. If you were born before 1945, you were born before television, before penicillin, before polio shots, frozen foods, Xerox, plastic, contact lenses, Frisbees, and the pill. We were born before radar, credit cards, split atoms, laser beams, and ballpoint pens. If you were born before 1945, you were born before dishwashers, clothes dryers, electric blankets, air conditioners, drip-dry clothes, and before man ever walked on the moon. Back in those days, we got married first and then lived together. In our time, back then, closets were for clothes, not for coming out of. Bunnies were small rabbits, and rabbits were not Volkswagens. You were born before 1945. You were born before house husbands, gay rights, computer dating, dual careers, and computer marriages. We were before daycare centers, group therapy, and nursing homes. Back then, we never heard of FM stereo, tape decks, electric typewriters, artificial hearts, word processors, yogurt, and men wearing earrings. For us back then, time sharing meant togetherness, not computers or condominiums. A chip meant a piece of wood. Hardware meant hardware, and software wasn't even a word. In 1940, the term made in Japan meant junk. And the term making out referred to how you did on your exam. Pizzas, McDonald's, and instant coffee was unheard of. We hit the scene when there was really 5 and 10 cent stores, where you really bought something for 5 and 10 cents. Anderson sold ice cream cones for a nickel and a dime. For one nickel, you could ride a streetcar, make a phone call, buy a Pepsi, or enough stamps to mail a letter, plus two postcards. You could buy a new Chevy for $600, and a gasoline was 11 cents a gallon. My goodness, that's been a long time ago. And to think some of us were living back then. Amazing, isn't it? In our day, cigarette smoking was fashionable, grass was mowed, Coke was a cold drink, and pot was something you cooked in. Rock music in that day was a grandma's lullaby, And aides were helpers in the principal's office. We were certainly not before the difference between the sexes were discovered, but we were surely before the sex change. And we were the last generation that were so dumb as to think that you needed a husband to have a baby. No wonder we're so confused and there's such a generation gap today. This is a changing world, isn't it? Amen. But I want to talk to you tonight about change because we're living in that kind of a society. But the fact is that we basically don't change from one position to another position. We change from not changing to changing. Now, I want you to stay with me for a few moments. We don't just simply change from here to here, from point A to point B. We don't just change from one place to another and then stop. We change from not changing to a position of change. And once you start changing, there's no place to stop changing. Amen. I want to emphasize that tonight. We don't just change from point A to point B. We don't just change from one place to another. We change from a position of not changing to a position of changing. And then once you change, it's a perpetual, ongoing situation that doesn't seem to have a stopping point to it. Praise God, praise God. Now, if you don't think you've changed, you ask someone that you love. They'll tell you. Some of us have changed. Even our physical features. Gray hair. The weight has changed. There's been a lot of changes that took place in all of us. Physically. But I'm talking tonight about something that is far more important than a physical change. Once you enter into the arena of changing, then change becomes your position. Once you enter into the arena of change, then change becomes a way of life. I know of some people, I know of preachers and laymen, who feel that they have outgrown a conservative, fundamental way of life and of preaching. I know of folks, I don't know how many you've got in California, I'm from the East Coast, but I know of folks that have actually sold out this beautiful message that we love and we preach tonight for bigger crowds and bigger pay. And as somebody said a long time ago, the question is, did you have and did you get? How many did you have and how much did you get? Praise God. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is going to have a dedicated, anointed, consecrated, end-time church that is not going to move into the arena of change, but we're going to stay in a position of not changing and staying with the old landmark and the old past. I want you to know that the church that has brought us to this point is still good enough tonight. And the truth that saved us from sin is still the truth tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. The past is our heritage. The present is our responsibility. And the future is our challenge. May God Almighty help us tonight as a church not to move into the arena of change. Every preacher that's in this building tonight has faced, or you will face, the pull
on you in your church to change. Now, I've been trying to pastor a church going on 32 years. And we're facing spirits. I did not come here negative tonight. I come here positive. But we're facing spirits we never faced before. We're facing attitudes we never faced before. We're facing devils that's got different names and different faces than they ever had before. And the pull is powerfully strong on every pastor in your local church to change your present position. Amen. It's easy to change. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. You don't have to really change big at first. All you've got to do to change your church is just simply stop preaching some things. Hallelujah. I don't have to give people an open license to sin. I don't have to say certain things are okay in the church that I pastor. All I've got to do is just simply stop preaching certain things. If you stop preaching the new birth, somebody's going to stop believing it. If you stop preaching one God, somebody's going to stop believing it. And a lady, a preacher's wife who's been in Pentecost since the day she was born, told my daughter just recently, said, you know, I always thought the Trinity was a false doctrine, but it's just a play on words. I've come to find out it's a matter of semantics, and it's a play on words, and it's really not a false doctrine. We really believe the same thing. I'm here to tell you tonight that the one God message and the Trinitarian dogma is not the same thing. It's not just a play on words. Let me tell you tonight that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we've heard it 1,000 times over. But I don't want to change. I want to keep believing that Jesus is the mighty God manifest in flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. A certain preacher that I know of in our fellowship has recently been baptizing people. And I'm addressing these issues because we can no longer ignore them. We can no longer ignore the fact that there are problems. Hallelujah. I recognize I'm preaching to preachers as well as saints. But I think even our saints have got to mature to such a degree of understanding that this is a crucial hour. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. That only those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Brother, there are false teachers. There are false Christs. There is false doctrine. And we better arm ourselves with the truth of God, or we're going to be swept away with the tide of unconcern and false teaching. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not trying to get out of place or be mean tonight, but right now, tonight, there is a large church in our fellowship that's going together with the Assembly of God for a citywide crusade. The Assembly of God pastor is preaching the first three nights. The UPC preacher is preaching the next three nights. That's a large church, and every man on this platform knows that pastor. And he's preaching, the Assembly of God preacher is preaching there tonight. I am not here to rake anybody over the coals. I'm just simply here to tell you there is a message, there is a gospel, there is a truth somewhere. Bless God, if we don't have it, we better be finding out what it is. I'm here to contend tonight. There is a gospel, there is a message, there is a truth, and we better stand for it. And if we don't stand for it, we're going to fall for the spirits of deception and error. And God is going to shove us aside and raise up somebody that's going to believe His Word. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are preachers in the United Pentecostal Church that are making their rounds with us just to get better known. And once they get a bigger name and they get better known, then they lay us aside as a discarded old shoe and go on to what they call greener pastures and bigger things. There are singing groups in our fellowship that are using us as a springboard to bigger things. And once they get out there in the limelight and get the bigger things, then we're the old antiquated, worn out UPC. But I want to tell you something tonight. I've come to this pulpit to tell you that God's got a church, God's got a people, God's got an apostolic ministry that is not going to move, that's not going to change. We're not antiquated. We're not behind the time. We're not a bunch of losers. Hallelujah. We know what we believe. We know why we believe it. And God's looking for a church that's going to stand for the Word of God in this hour. Let us not change. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 I'm going to stick with the crowd that don't change. I'm going to stick with the crowd that's stable, that's sure, that's solid, that's sound, that's unmovable, that's unshakable. Glory! I've cast my lot with you folks, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not looking for something bigger. I'm not looking for greener pastors. God called me to preach, and woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, you folks that believe the truth. You've got me on your hands. Amen. I'm going to stick with this crowd. I said I'm going to stick with the crowd. Resolutions or no resolutions. I'm going to stick with the book. Hallelujah. I don't believe they could ever make a resolution in any state or national conference that would cause me to become separated from the gospel. Because you don't just change a little bit. You don't just change a minor amount. You don't just change from point A to point B. Once you enter into the arena of change, brother, it's a perpetual ongoing thing, and it's devastating, and it has no end. And people who were once shouting and preaching God's word among us are on the ash heaps of backslidden condition tonight, and apostasy and worldliness, because they entered into the arena of change. Oh God, give us the intestinal fortitude to stand for His Word. Hallelujah. Brother Dave Willoughby used to say, the banana that leaves the bunch is the one that gets peeled. And so the moral of that story is, I'm going to stick with the bunch. The bunch that believes the truth. The bunch that still preaches repentance. That still preaches water baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. That still preaches the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the sign of speaking with other tongues. That still preaches the new birth is not to join a church, but is to be born of water and spirit. That still teaches there's one God. I'm not ashamed tonight to be identified with holiness believing and holiness loving people. Hallelujah. Oh, I pray that from this platform to the back of this auditorium tonight, that God's Holy Spirit would get a hold of us so strongly that we will defy the spirit of change that Satan is trying to perpetuate upon the church tonight. Amen. The Apostle Peter didn't say, I think I'm going to quit the ministry. He didn't say, I think I'll just leave it all and go fishing. First of all, he slept while Jesus prayed. Then he lost his temper and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Then he warmed by the enemy's fire. Then he followed afar off. Then he denied his Savior. Then he denied the faith. finally, he had so entered into the arena of change that he says, I go fishing. It didn't happen overnight. The spirit of change got a hold of him. Amen. I don't believe that Abraham said, I think I'll become the father of an illegitimate child. I don't think he said that. I don't believe that Abraham said that. He went down to the land of Canaan. Then he went down to the land of Egypt. Then he said to Sarah, I don't want them to know that you're my wife. They'll kill me. Then he hired a heathen girl that he never should have hired, named Hagar. Amen. I think we can get into some unscriptural relationships that will eventually become devastating. And that which looks good can become powerfully wrong when we enter into relationships that are diametrically opposed to God's precious Word. I doubt whether a child of God has a great deal of business entering into a business venture with an unsaved person. I know for sure that God doesn't want our young people dating and marrying sinners. Are you listening to me? When a child of God marries the child of the devil, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. Amen. I said you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law. A child of God, young men, young ladies, you have no business dating a sinner. You have no business dating out of the faith. You have no business dating someone that's not baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you say, I'll change them later. No, you won't. They'll probably change you later. You better stand behind that pastor that's preaching the Word of God in that pulpit. When churches begin to fellowship false doctrine, it's an invitation to change. I don't know how you feel, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. I don't think that I have a great deal of business joining up with all of the city churches in order to become popular. God never did call me to become popular. Besides that, He never even called me to be a success. Hallelujah. I said God never called any of us to be successful, but He did call us to be faithful. He did call us to be faithful. And so Abraham digresses further. He brought Hagar to Canaan, and then Hagar became pregnant, and then Abraham became the father of a child. He became the father of all the Arab people. But Abraham didn't say, I'm going to father an illegitimate child that's going to be a thorn in the side of God's people. He didn't say that. He just simply entered into the arena of change. And once you start changing, there is no stopping point. I'm going to say this tonight because I believe it. I've watched churches that say we need to start changing like they are. We need to lay down here, lay down a little here, cut a few corners here, stop preaching a little bit here. And I've watched that 90% or more of those churches that I know of, they don't even reach the heights they thought they were going to reach. They think they're going to grow by compromise. But very few of them grow by compromise. You might point out a few. You might point out a handful. But some of them really didn't compromise. They never did believe much to start with. They were just going along for the ride. The United Pentecostal Church was the biggest thing going that was Jesus' name. And they went along for the ride. I'm going to tell you that everything that can be shaken off is going to be shaken off. Hallelujah. God's going to have a true blue apostolic church. Let me tell you, friend, you go ahead and enter into that arena of change, and 5 years from now, folks won't even recognize you. 10 years from now, they won't even recognize you. Your church won't even look like an apostolic church. Not only that, it won't worship like an apostolic church. There's not anywhere in the world you'll find what you find in a Jesus name, one God apostolic tongue talking church. You don't find this spirit in a spirit of compromise out there in the world. And you know, The first thing that people lose is their holiness. That's the first thing. It's amazing how many people say, I never did believe it. I just went along for the ride. I just did it because my pastor said it. I just did it because Brother Price, our Brother Grant said it. Brother Grant said today, it's got to get in our heart. It's got to get in our own heart. Oh, God help us. It's got to get in our own heart. Somehow there's got to be assimilated into our very spiritual anatomy a deep love for the truth. It doesn't matter who leaves the truth, you're going to stand for it. Doesn't matter who compromises, you're going to stand for the truth. Doesn't matter who leaves the fellowship, you're going to stand for the truth. I want to say again, when you enter into the arena of change, you won't recognize yourself in 5 to 10 years. You'll be a spiritual has-been that God cast aside. When people lose their holiness, they say, oh, I still believe in Jesus' name. I still believe in the new birth. I still believe in one God. But after a while, once you enter into that arena of change, then that's not only holiness. It's not only ladies cutting their hair, wearing makeup, jewelry, and pantsuits, and dressing and looking like the world, mixed swimming and so on. The next thing you know, we lose our doctrine. We lose our love for the message itself. Hallelujah. Once you enter into the arena of change, there is no stopping point. There are no brakes that can be put upon you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Those people that say we Pentecostals are in bondage, I don't believe a word of it. I don't feel in bondage tonight. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't feel like I'm in bondage tonight. I feel free. Woo! Somebody else feel that way tonight? You're not in bondage. God's made you free. I'm going to tell you, when you were in the world, you were in bondage. When you were drinking, you were in bondage. When you were cursing, you were in bondage. When you were smoking, you were in bondage. When you were listening to rock music, you were in bondage. But thank God tonight, you've been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I'm in bondage. I'm having the time of my life. Don't tell me I'm a legalist. I'm enjoying my trip to heaven. Somebody clap your hands for the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I come back to Ruth chapter 1. Elimelech and Naomi went out of the will of God from Bethlehem and Judea. They went down to a place called Moab. A famine came. And Moab was heathen country that served and worshipped heathen gods. So they went down. And I want you to notice the picture here that God talked to my heart about this message. Bible says in verse 1, when they left, Brother Grant, they didn't go to stay. The Bible said they went to sojourn. They went to sojourn in the land. And the word sojourn simply means to pass through. That's what it means. And the Bible says they went to sojourn in the land. But the fact is, that they got out of the will of God, went to a heathen nation, and their sojourn became a permanent position that lasted for 10 years. People say, I'm just gonna move a little here. I vacillate a little here. I compromise a little here. I let down a little here. I'm just going to sojourn in this place a little bit. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you start sojourning in the land, that heathen spirit is going to get a hold of you. It's going to wrap itself about you until eventually you'll find out that you are pressured and in bondage to the powers of the enemy. Amen. How many people have started to drink just socially? They just sojourned into drinking. But they wound up an alcoholic on Skid Row or in the gutter? How many people got on drugs that never intended for that to become a life or lifestyle or way of life? They sojourned with it, but it got its tentacles wrapped around about him, and they were bound. How many people started smoking? And you can name many other things. They didn't intend to stay, but there's a spirit. I think sometimes we underestimate the spirit of sin and the spirit of the enemy and the spirit of filth and degradation that's existing in our world tonight. Now, first of all, they had a son that married a heathen girl. And that boy died. They had another son that married another heathen girl. And that boy died. Finally, the husband dies. And they almost left by herself. Here's what she says. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem. Verse 19 of chapter 1, please note. So they too went until they come to Bethlehem. You know the story how that Orpha turned back to her gods. G-O-D-S, plural. But Ruth said, thy God, singular, shall be my God. And thy people shall be my people. And whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy God shall be my God. And thy people shall be my people. I detect this tonight in the places that I've had the opportunity to preach, that there are people of this world that are so sick of sin. They're so tired of sin. They're so defeated by sin. They're looking for something, and they're looking our way. I believe this hour is tailor-made for the apostolics. I believe this hour is tailor-made for the United Pentecostal Church. I don't feel defeated about it. I feel encouraged about it. But oft times, while the world is hungry for what we've got, we have people sitting on our own church pews that have been there a long time, that have become cold, casual, carnal, lukewarm, unfaithful, indifferent, callously unconcerned. Amen. I've been to places to preach where sinners came to pray, but the saints didn't come to pray. Are you here with me tonight? I've been to places where the backslider came to pray and the saints were visiting and talking and fellowshipping. Hallelujah. Are you still here? I'm from the old school, I guess. When there's somebody in the altar, I believe they ought to be prayed with. When there's a sinner trying to find God, I believe somebody ought to be praying with them. When there's a backslider trying to pray through, I believe somebody ought to be praying with them. I don't think that's the time to fellowship and talk and discuss trivial matters. I think it's time for the whole church to get under burden for the children. I come to birth, and there's not enough strength to bring them forth. Wouldn't it be something if every Sunday night in our churches, when a sinner came to pray, the whole church would come to pray? When a backslider came to pray, the whole church would come to pray? Wouldn't it be something if our vestibules would empty out in the auditorium? If our hallways would suddenly become empty? Don't tell me I'm not telling the truth. I know I am. Wouldn't it be something if our hallways would empty out? And all of those who love to talk and visit and fellowship in the vestibule, in the hallways, or at the back of the church, would suddenly come to that church front and get red hot and on fire for God and say, oh God, we need your mighty power. We need the fresh anointing. We need the fresh oil of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The world is hungry for what we've got, but sometimes we are not as hungry for them to get it as they are to receive it. I don't want to lose that first love. I don't want to reach that place where when a sinner prays, it doesn't touch my heart anymore. Hallelujah. A boy came to our church a few months back, a young man. He's an optometrist, and he has a good business. And he's a fine young man. And he came looking and acting and talking and everything like the world. The first time he came in our church, Brother Price, just a few months ago, Sam said to me after church, Reverend, I think I've finally found what I've been looking for. First time ever in a Pentecostal church. Came back the next service, got baptized. 3 or 4 days later, got the Holy Ghost. I didn't have to tell him to cut his hair. He cut it himself. Nobody said a word about cut your hair, get rid of your beard and mustache. Nobody said a word. I just wonder if it isn't possible that the Holy Spirit can still do some talking to some people that's hungry for God. I wonder tonight if it isn't possible that we could have such a dynamic, powerful move of the Spirit that God could speak to somebody's heart and they'd say, "Yea, Lord." Sam got baptized, got the Holy Ghost. He has not, outside of vacation, he has not missed a single service since that night. Never heard a sermon on tithing and started paying tithes. Before he ever heard a sermon on holiness, started looking holy and dressing holy. What are you saying, Brother Godet? Here's what I'm saying. There's people out there that's desperate for what we've got. They're hungry for what we've got. He didn't have the Holy Ghost 30 days till he came to me and said, "Pastor, where do you want me to go to work at? I want to win some souls to God." And every Wednesday night, he is on the Duke University campus, about 3 miles from our church. He's passing out tracts. He's out there for 2 hours. Every Wednesday night, he's already brought 20-something people to the house of God. And some of them are baptized. And some of them have got the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying tonight is this. There are people that are hungry for God, but they don't need to come in to a changing assembly. What about the prodigal sons that leave our house? They need to be able to identify us and recognize us when they decide to come back home. Hallelujah. We have a young man named Marty. Marty came to our church 15 years ago or so, got baptized and got the Holy Ghost, lived for God. I don't know just what happened, but somewhere along the line, Marty got discouraged. He finally quit the church. He married a Catholic young lady. They have a little girl, 4 or 5 years old. And about 2 weeks ago Sunday, I looked up and after years of absence, Marty was sitting in the congregation. He and his wife, on Sunday night, they came back to church 2 weeks ago, night before last, and they both came to the altar. In a few minutes, he had prayed through the Holy Ghost, and that Catholic wife had received the Holy Ghost, and we baptized her in Jesus' name. He came to me after church, after being gone for years, Brother Grant, and he said, "Pastor, thank you for not changing. Thank you for not changing. Hey, when the prodigal sons decide, I'm sick of the hog pen, I'm sick of the world, I'm sick of the filth, they need to have a church to come back to that they recognize that hasn't changed." Oh, hallelujah. If they're gone 5 years, they need to come into a church that hasn't changed. If they're gone 10 years, they need to know who we are. They need to recognize us. Our doctrine, our holiness, our love, our commitment, our fellowship. They need to know there's one church in this city that's not going to change. Let's clap our hands for the Lord. Hallelujah. I want our organist to come, please. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 19. So the two went. So they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naoma? Is this Naoma?" She had changed so much. 10 years in a Moabite country had left an influence and an impact upon her life. "Where's your son?" "I lost him." "Where's the other son?" "I lost him." Is it possible that in our sojourn to the world, we can lose our sons and lose our daughters? Is it possible that in Pentecost, while we're just flirting with the idea of change and compromise that we can lose our children and our grandchildren. Oh, God, I want to be a part of a church that remains intact for the truth. Hallelujah. Is this Naomi? And she said, call me not Naomi. The word Naomi means pleasant. She said, call me Mara, which means bitter. She said, when I went out, I was Naomi. I was pleasant. When I came back, I was Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Naomi, you changed. You went to sojourn. You went to stay a little while. But it got a hold of you, and it kept you for 10 years. And you lost your boys. And you lost your husband. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. All the makeup in the world can't cover the marks of sin. Oh, I want to stay in church. I want to live for God. I believe it's time for this church to decide what we believe. Do we really believe Acts 2:38? Do we really believe the new birth message? Do we really believe one God? Do we really believe that a man ought to have short hair and a woman ought to have long hair and it's a glory? Do we really believe that you shouldn't paint their face and wear men's apparel? Do we really believe that rock music is of the devil? Do we really believe that saints should not wear shorts and go mixed swimming? If we do, brother, we better dig our heels in the sand and begin to take a stand. Because if we don't do it, we're going to lose something precious in this hour. My music director is a fine young man. He's been with us 2 years and doing a good job. But he went to a certain district last week for vacation. They asked him to play the organ for their camp, which he did. He's a fabulous organist. And so he went to play. The district superintendent's son ran the sound booth. A preacher. With shorts on every day. On the UPC campground. And I know that may shock some of you Californians because you believe the truth. You've got great leadership. I want to tell you folks, stand behind this man of God. Stand behind these pastors that are lifting up the truth. Of course, I wasn't too shocked. I preached there a year ago in a district meeting and sat down in the dining hall, and the young lady, 18 or 20 years old, that came to serve us a sandwich after church, served us in shorts. In the dining hall, owned by the UPC. I'm talking to a group of people tonight that better decide what you believe and stand for it. You better make up your mind. You're not going to just go from point A to point B. When you start changing, brother, the whole thing is going to go and you're going to lose everything. You're going to go out full and come back empty. You're going to be pleasant but become bitter. Hallelujah. 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 Jacob sojourned in his land, deceived his brother, cheated his brother, and said, I'll sojourn there. But he stayed 20 years. He stayed 20 years. If you go to sojourn in the world, how long are you going to stay? How long are you going to stay? How many children will you lose while you're there? Oh, God. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. We don't need something new. We need the old to be repeated. I said we don't need something new. We need the old to be repeated. Somebody said, I'm going to shock my church with something new. I'd like to bless my church with something old. The best thing I can do when I get back home from this camp is not get up to the pulpit and say, I've let down all the standards. Go ahead and do anything you want to. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of battling. Do anything you want to. The best thing I can do is go back to my pulpit and say, folks, there's still one God. We still baptize in Jesus' name. We still preach holiness. I don't want to shock them with something new. I want to bless them with something old. Let's all stand. Let's praise Him. Come on, church, let's praise Him tonight. Whoa! Come on, Pastor, don't give in to the pressures at this hour. Don't change. Keep preaching the book. Keep preaching the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Who shall turn away from the truth and be turned into fables? But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I will not lead by convictions to get a crowd. Success is not my goal, but faithfulness to the truth is my holy ambition. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God, don't let us change. Because once you change, you don't go from A to B. You go from not changing to changing. You enter into the arena of change. And once that happens, there is no good place to stop changing. The landmark was a piece of metal or stone. Most men in the Old Testament times did not come and steal the property of a neighbor all at once. They just simply moved the landmark. They took the landmark one day and moved it over to here. But once you start changing, there's no end to it. Then they would change it a few days later over to here. They didn't get their property all at once, but it was little by little until finally their property was taken. The landmark was moved. We've got some landmarks in this fellowship, and I don't want to move one of them. A pastor came to me at the General Conference several years ago in Anaheim. Called up in the hallway. He said, Brother Godare. I said, yes. He had preached for me when he was an evangelist. He's now pastoring in another state, not too far from here. He said, he had tears in his eyes. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, let's step aside here. And he said, what do you do? He said, do the women in your church cut their hair? I said, no. He said, well, what do you do to keep them from it? And I said, well, Tim, did you ever preach it? No, he said, I haven't. I said, well, you might as well try. Said he'd been there 2 or 3 years. He said, every woman in our church is cutting their hair. What can I do? I said, start off by preaching it. You don't have to be mean and ugly. Just preach the word. Just preach the book. Hallelujah. I don't believe our revivalists are building churches by being mean and being ugly and being sarcastic and being antagonistic, but we got to preach the book. It's time for somebody to dig their heels in the sand and say, this is what I believe and this is why I believe. We can speak the truth in love, but we've got to speak the truth. A few years later, he left our fellowship, went to another district, took a charismatic church, started fighting the UPC. Finally, he and his wife separated. She's gone. He's gone. He's no longer there. And the whole thing is falling apart. Because when you start changing, he was raised right. When you start changing, you don't just change a little. You just keep on changing. God, don't let a spirit of change get a hold of this fellowship. And if you're here tonight, you've got a lot more churches than we got. We've seen a good revival in North Carolina. We went there 20 years ago. We had 18 churches. Brother Jesse Williams had the largest with 100 in Sunday school. We're happy today that we have 66 churches and growing. And we thank the Lord for that. We haven't nearly done all we need to do. And we're trying to do more. But the Lord will give us a little more time. But you've got a lot of churches in California, a lot of neighboring churches. Here's what's possible. Some pastor can preach the word. And some saint can decide, I don't believe I want that. I believe I'll switch churches. Somebody said that folks don't backslide anymore. They just change churches. And I understand there are some valid reasons for moving and changing churches. And I won't go into that. But we better make sure that we're not changing churches for the sake of compromise. We better make sure we're not changing churches to find us a preacher that'll let us believe what we want to believe and live the way we want to live. Oh God, don't let us change. Hallelujah. I got a neighbor on one side of me, Brother Huntley, 20 miles away. And if they left my church and went there, they'd hear the same thing they heard in my church. My neighbor on the other side is my brother. Can he go there? He's 30 miles away. And if he don't preach the truth, I'm going to skin his head. Amen. But I'm saying this. When they go to one church or the other, they ought to hear a consistency. They ought to hear the same thing. Let there be no division among you. Come on, apostolics of California. Let's don't change. Let's stand for Jesus. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Glory! Oh, let's praise God. Glory!
The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yes! Sing it! Glory! Come on, sing it! Let's all sing!
The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen. Now, I want us to sing that again. I want to ask you to do something tonight. It's Tuesday night. I didn't plan this, but I feel it right now. I'd like to ask every preacher in this building, I'm not asking you about the manual of the United Pentecostal Church, although I don't think it contains false doctrine. But I'm asking you, how many are willing tonight to adhere to the teachings of this book and to stand upon the Word of God? Not compromise, not back away, not recant, not vacillate, just stand for the book. While we sing it again, I want every preacher in this house that's going to take a stand for the Word of God. We've got our own personalities. We've all got our own talents and abilities and ways. But you're going to stand for this truth. This Jesus' name, Acts 2:38, one God message. You're going to stand for it. I ask you to come down front here and stand with me and worship God with me as we sing.
The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.
going to stand with them? Are you going to stand with them? Glory! Now go worship God.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Yes.
The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Now I'd like for every saint of God that's going to stand behind these pastors. When they preach the book, you're going to stand with them. Stand behind them. Believe it. Obey it. I want you, as many as will, to walk out from where you are, walk down the aisles, stand up here behind these preachers. And in effect, you're saying, pastors, we're going to stand with you. Let's sing it again. Let's worship God.
God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
The word of God
is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Let's rejoice in the truth. Let's rejoice in the truth.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. He will make you walk upright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Well, it will make you walk upright. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
The word of God
is right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
I said the word of God is right.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
The Lamb.
It will make you walk upright.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
It will make you walk upright.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
It will make you walk upright.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Hallelujah
to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Good enough for me.
take us all to heaven. Can you take us all to heaven?